Hello, you're listening to PC Invasion interview with the man who got $3,000 refunded by Cloud Imperium Games for Star Citizen. Hello, Street Roller, thanks for talking to us, or Arthur, as I can call you, I believe.
Hey, how's it going, Peter?
It's going well. You must be pleased that you've managed to recoup your funds.
Yeah. I am pleased. I just wish they had done it sooner rather than having me jump through all these hoops. I mean, it was kind of tiring, to be frank.
Yeah. I guess we can get into the kind of the correspondence you had over the refund in a little bit. I just want to start with some backstory, I guess. I was curious, like, when you first were aware of Star Citizen and when you first started pledging some money towards it.
Yeah, absolutely. I first started pledging January 2014.
Okay.
And so when I initially pledged, and I had to, I thought about it. The reason that I initially pledged back in 2014 was, I don't know if you remember, but they had a limited number of alpha slots left available.
Right, okay.
And it was one of the things that kind of sold me on it. Now, a lot of people that are kind of following my story will say, well, why'd you buy the game for alpha slots if you didn't even play the alpha? Because I didn't. I never played the alpha. And the answer to that was, I didn't know that I wouldn't play the alpha. So I got in at the tail end of when they were running out of alpha slots, and I didn't know that I would never play the alpha. Because at that time, no, Arena Commander wasn't even out yet. So there was no alpha to play at that point.
Right. It was, at that point, you were just buying a slot in a prospective alpha.
Exactly.
Right.
And then shortly after that, they started selling the slots with module passes.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, well, I bought in because there was a limited number of alpha slots, and now all of a sudden, you know, you guys are selling it. So that was the first thing that kind of, you know, I was like, come on, really?
So that's quite that's quite early on then, when you're starting to already.
Yeah, well, like, so if it, yeah, so it, you know, I wasn't thinking at that time, oh, I want a refund.
No, yeah,
like,
sure, you know, sure.
But it was one of those things that was just sort of like, oh, really? Like, well.
Yeah. So was that the does that constitute the sort of the $3,000?
I didn't buy in all at once. In
right.
fact, I didn't stop spending money until the middle of 2015.
Right. Can I ask what you picked up, like what ships you purchased, if it was ships?
I bought a whole bunch of ships. I bought, you know, I would see a ship sale and I'd be like, oh, I want that. I was kind of like, you know, a kid in a candy store. I mean, not to say that I didn't have the money. Like, I get a lot of perception too that, you know, I shouldn't have spent money I didn't have. No, I had that money.
Right.
It was definitely disposable. It was just, you know, I would see a ship sale and I'd be like, oh, I want that. And so I bought the Reclaimer, and then I bought what was the $600 ship again? Do you remember? It was like the yacht.
I'm not going to be much help there, I'm afraid. But
I bought a $600 ship. It was like the space yacht of Star Citizen.
Sure.
And you know, I had a friend at the time that was getting into Star Citizen, and I had like one of the only copies that had ever been sold. They didn't do another sale of it, and he really wanted one. So I gave it to him.
Okay.
So that was the first thing that I wanted to clear up, because I noticed in your article you said, well, there's a discrepancy, because he said 3,000,
Yeah, sure. I wasn't. I hope that wasn't kind of an accusatory tone.
I was just trying to square up.
You know.
No, actually, I was actually impressed because you got the correct number. I think you said something like 2,560, which is actually exactly what I asked for. Right. Although I blacked it out. I redacted it. Because I redacted all the information regarding my account and stuff like that.
Of course.
Back to what I was saying. So yeah, so I would buy a
car. So that's where the other monetary amount is.
I'll come back to that. But so I would buy a couple of ships and whatnot, and then around the, I think it was the beginning of 2015 or the middle of 2015 or something like that. They had like the Armada pack ship sale. And I already had like a bunch of ships and I was just like, okay, I'll melt all of my, I don't know if you know this, you can melt your packages.
Yeah. I'm aware that you can kind of trade in, I guess.
Yeah. So I melted all my packages and I just got the Armada pack with, right. And then I had one Hornet Ghost pack, which was the original one that I bought back in January. Mm-hmm. So long story short.
So you were fully into this game. I mean, you know.
Oh yeah.
Like fully on board with this. I mean, had you played other Chris Roberts games, other space games?
I did. Yeah, I did. I played Wing Commander back in the day. I don't remember anything about it. So, but I remember it being like, a DOS game, and it was really cool. I remember it being like one of the few better games. You know, back in the day.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
But I got into, middle of 90s. So then I was a kid back then. I was like 10 or something. So I had played Chris Roberts games before, So I was like, okay, this guy wants to make a space game, seems interesting. I read the Kickstarter, I was like, oh, VR, you know, that was the selling point for me, the VR.
Right.
And the co-op, the fact that you could co-op in with friends and stuff, those were big stuff. And the problem is, with Chris Roberts, especially with all his updates, and you can ask regular, you know, other backers of Star Citizen 2, it's insanely difficult to keep up with all of his musings about the game. So like when he says something like, okay, we're dropping co-op, well, I didn't know we were dropping co-op until months after it was announced, because I had asked about it somewhere and somebody said no, he said it's gone, they're not doing co-op. And so I was kind of like, really? Like
hang on, this is one of the things I specifically, you know, was in for. Yeah.
And then I mentioned VR at one point, and somebody's like, no, they're not doing VR day one anymore. That's like down the line. Yeah. Like, you may not see it until after release. And I'm like,
yeah.
Really? And so a lot of people don't know this about me, but I'm actually disabled. I'm actually in a wheelchair.
All right. Okay.
I have a YouTube channel. Right. People, I ever want to see what I look like, you could just Google search Street Roller.
Sure.
But so the VR was kind of a selling point for me because I wanted to like be able to move my head around.
Right.
So I was kind of pissed when they canned that, and I was pissed about the co-op. But even though I was disenfranchised by all those things, like none of those things caused me to ask for my refund. Just to make it clear.
Just out of curiosity, out of all the ships that you owned. Like, yeah. How many of those at this point are actually, can you actually kind of see in the game or even walk around or do anything with?
I had the Armada pack, and I don't know exactly what's in it, but I know the Idris obviously isn't available.
You're right.
At the time, I don't know if the Starfarer was available or not before I asked for my refund. So I don't know. I'd have to go back and look.
But. That's fine. So what was the tipping point then? If you know the VR is not happening day one and the co-op's kind of dropped, and but you're still on board at this point. And then what changes this?
So this is kind of a long, this is kind of a longer story. The first time that I started having a problem with Chris Roberts as a policymaker rather than as a game designer,
mm-hmm.
was back when he wrote the letter to the Escapist. Honestly.
Right, yeah.
And to be clear, I want to be abundantly clear, because a lot of people keep mixing this up. I was not a member of the Something Awful forums, nor did I have any association with Derek Smart.
Right.
Previous to me wanting a refund. I had no idea who this guy was. Well, that's not true.
Good,
I knew who he was.
Good to get that on the record, because there are some people who are conspiratorially minded about the Something Awful forum. I will, for my own part, I do have an account on Something Awful. I have since about 2003, I think. I'm a very irregular poster, but, you know, just getting that out there in case anyone wants to link me to this Illuminati.
Honestly, I found out about, first found out about Derek Smart through Chris Roberts' letter to the Escapist that he posted on his own website.
Right. That's quite ironic then that your first exposure to Derek Smart is from
why is he complaining about this guy? What happened? I'm just sitting there like, and then obviously I'm thinking, I'm like, why is he writing this? Like, he's the I'm sure that every CEO of every company ever would love to write a letter like that about their competitor.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm sure they would, but they don't, because they realize that they would get fired.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. And then they had this skin sale of like, you have our back, and it was like this like, you know, they were selling a skin for like $5, and you know, show your support by buying this Have Our Back skin or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, I understand that you have a problem with the guy. I understand that maybe you don't like what the Escapist is saying about you,
mm-hmm.
or what they're reporting. But whatever the reason, like, isn't this a little immature? Like,
yeah.
And so that's, I had a big problem with it. I had a huge problem with it from a professional standpoint. I'm like, are you guys serious? And then in like the beginning of June or late May, people started writing on the forums about how people were labeling, you know, customer service was labeling its members with derogatory names.
Oh, really? Really?
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
No, that one has passed me by. So the Star Citizen forums, you're saying that...
Yeah, there was a couple threads. I was part of the concierge as well. Do you know that there's a concierge forum for people that spend over $1,000?
Yes. Well, I was aware that there was. I didn't know the sort of spending limit.
It's basically a big ball. It's basically the big baller forum.
Yeah, sure.
You spend a shitload of money, you get your own private form.
VIPs only.
And the mods in there are pretty lax about like what they allow to be posted. So, I mean, you could pretty much post anything you want in there as long as it's not like, you know, I hate this guy or, you know.
Sure, yeah.
But people in the concierge form are generally pretty relaxed. Mm-hmm. They're pretty down to earth and chill about things. So, but they generally have a chance to talk about things that that CIG would never allow on the, you know, on the general chat.
Oh, interesting. So there's sort of more leeway as regards to feedback into, you know, what is dissatisfying you maybe about certain aspects or.
Yeah. So the whole thing had been brought up on there, and you know, I was reading it and I was like, wow, these guys really like, they labeled their, I don't know all the labels, but I know one of them was like snowflake or high maintenance and.
Oh, really? So what is the source on this? Are there like screen grabs of this?
There's actually there was a short YouTube video that I found online where a guy was actually showing you how you could find the labels.
Right. Okay.
So it was kind of a big thing. And I was just like, really? Like, you know, if this had happened in any other company, the guy running CS would have been fired, like, straight away.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, that's extremely disrespectful, just to say nothing else, you know.
And so, you know, and then you have Star, you know, people that back Star Citizen, they're just sort of like, well, you know, it, they need to know who they're dealing with and all this stuff. I'm just like, no, it's not acceptable. Like, you know, when a ticket comes in, you treat everyone equally.
Yeah.
You know, user account history obviously is, you know, a baseboard, but
sure.
You know, and then I think even Ray Ravencroft, or, well, I don't know his name, the guy who heads CS, even issued a statement at one point, or was an email to a backer I had read.
Right.
This was after I'd become a member of the Something Awful forums.
Okay.
The guy had posted up there and basically said, yeah, these, no, we were definitely tagging, like, he admitted to it. Mm. Yeah, we were tagging people. And we were doing it to help speed along the process. I'm like, I'm like, okay, sure.
That doesn't seem to correspond with the types of names that you've relayed to me, you know. how does labeling someone high maintenance help with the efficiency of your customer service?
I don't know. It's one of those things. I'm done with them now, so, like, I'm just, it's whatever.
Yeah, so then
in June,
you open up a customer service thing asking
so
request
a
refund? Or?
I did not find out about the terms of service change from Derek Smart. A lot of people think that Derek Smart, like, approached me and was like, you know, here's the terms of service change. Get a refund now. Here, I'll walk you through the process.
Right, right. Yeah, like holding your hand through this. Yeah.
I found out about the terms of service change from the official forums.
Okay.
It was a topic in the official forums called PSA, terms of service change. Make sure you know what you're signing. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the mods let it be because it was kind of a, I guess, a big topic, and it had like 30 pages of replies and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if eventually they closed it or left it. I don't know. But I read it and I'm like, really? Changes, sir? And then there was a link to a imager showing all the changes mm-hmm. that they had made. And one of the changes they had made in respect to getting a refund was, it had originally said, I don't know the verbatim, but it originally said something like, you know, within 18 months, if we fail to deliver a game, you'll be eligible for a refund, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. From the estimated delivery date, which was originally November 2014 on the Kickstarter.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, they had changed it to something basically like, well, if we ever cease development. And I'm thinking to myself, what qualifies for ceasing development? Like, if you just come back, it, like, literally, you could come back once a week, every week, and say, yep, we're still working on it, guys.
Yeah, we've got one guy in an office, like, somewhere.
That's basically what Goddess did, right? Like, Peter Molyneux was basically like, yeah, we got one guy working on it, so, you know.
It's technically still happening.
It's still happening.
Yeah.
You know, but so I was just like, okay, so you're saying you took my money. You said you'd finish a certain number of things by this date,
mm-hmm.
which I'm already kind of pissed off because you've already broken your promise several times to me.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me you can keep my money forever.
basically indefinitely.
As long as you tell me once a week you're working on the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, nope, I'm out. I'm not going to sign a perpetuity contract. I'm not interested in, you know, I'm not interested in dealing with that.
What was the actual, like, mechanical process of that when they changed the terms of service? Was it, like, when you logged into the forum or when you logged into your account or something, was it saying,
this is the best part about it. I only found out about the terms of service change because I was trolling the, you know, general chat forums on the forum, the official forums. I had spoken to a lawyer, after I went to go, you know, getting my refund or whatever. Mm-hmm. I had spoken to a lawyer and he had told me, did they email you?
Right.
Did they email you at any time? And I said, no, they never email. I mean, I get newsletters from RSI all the time, but I had never received, any kind of indication that a notice had been given, the terms of service had changed.
Yep.
And I never played the alpha, so I didn't sign into the game and agree to it.
Right.
So the only time that I explicitly agreed to the terms of service was the checkbox that I checked when I created the account, which was back in 2014.
So you had agreed to whatever the terms of service said in 14. And to my knowledge, they only changed them the one time that we're referring to. So,
they changed them twice, actually.
Oh, twice. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
So, but, I'm not going to argue with them too much on the fact that since I continued to buy things into 2015, they claimed that because I was buying things, I was agreeing to the terms of service that was currently on the website at the time that I was purchasing.
Okay.
So I'm not gonna argue with them too much about that. And because that's, you know, whatever. The change that they made though, when I originally signed up, it actually said 12 months that they had to deliver the game.
Interesting.
So that would have been something like November 2015. So they changed it to 18 months, which set it to May 2016.
Which then is now just whenever we feel like it.
Yeah, it's perplexing to me that people still are okay with that. To be truthfully honest with you, if they had given me notice, like if they said, okay, we're changing our terms of service, we're changing it to 36 months, I might have been okay with that.
Okay, the scope of the project has massively expanded.
Yeah, we need more time.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, I can, but to do it indefinitely, like, I... Something that CIG needs to understand is when they change policy or when they make big enough changes, and I was talking to someone else about this before, it's kind of hard to quantify. But when they make big changes about this, what quantifies as a big enough change that someone would be eligible for a refund? That's the big question.
Yeah.
Like, is changing a ship statistic enough to say, I'm out, I'm done?
Right, this isn't the same as what I purchased.
And I would argue probably not, right? Like,
I'm like I said in the article, I'm not a lawyer. A lot of this terms of service stuff, I'm going on what other people might be suggesting or intuition, but you know,
yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, if like you've bought this ship and okay, yeah, it's gonna be X amount of feet long and then it's slightly shorter than advertised or something, then okay, that's not a big deal, is it? For example.
It's hard to quantify exactly what would be a bit. So as far as like gameplay balancing, I get it. Changes need to be made.
Sure. Whatever. Yeah.
But when I sign up for your Kickstarter or whatever, you're supposed to be the expert, right? Like you're supposed to understand the engine that you're programming in, and I expect you to understand that you can either do what you're saying you can do or you can't, right?
Yeah.
That's why I paid you money. That's why I gave you. That's why I didn't give some random guy off the street the money. I gave it to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you tell me, okay, we're going to have VR day one, we're going to have, you know, co-op day one, we're going to have all of this in the game, and we're going to do it by November 2014. I expect that to be in the game by November 2015 or 2014. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's not.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I didn't set this deadline. You did.
And as you've already said, you know, you're prepared to give them leeway.
What happens?
To the extent that the project expands and so on. It's just that.
Yeah. What happens when you put a down payment or you finance a car and they say to you, when can you pay us? And you give them a date. What happens when you don't pay them? They repo your car.
Yeah. I mean, I still find it remarkable that there was no kind of, I'm still trying to get my head around, I guess, how, at what point did people agree to these new terms of service that were kind of implemented without any notice? So are they saying that those would kick in when people make another purchase after the change, or?
The way it was described to me,
sure,
is the more boldly, I mean, it's always it can be argued either way, right? Until you go to court and put it in front of a judge.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no way to argue either way. But the lawyer that I was talking to, it was saying basically like, they have a better stance on it if they the more boldly they point it out. In other words, you know, when you go to those services, they make you scroll all the way to the end of the terms of service to
accept. Yeah, you can't just click that, right through. You've actually got to,
That the reason they do that is because they want to say, okay, we made you scroll through this.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you probably did it in like 2 seconds, like everyone does.
Yeah, you can't argue with us that you didn't read it. Or you didn't have, you know, you didn't understand, or what am I looking for? You didn't have time to, you know, digest it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there was no subterfuge there. That was all up front. Yeah.
So a case can be made that, you know, people unknowingly signed, you know, their firstborn away or whatever.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to what a judge thinks at the end of the day. And so.
Yeah, I mean that was the conclusion I reached as well. When I mean people have commented on the piece I wrote with like, oh, but you know they had no legal obligation or anything to give you the money back, and it's like, yeah, sure, but
right, exactly.
Their terms of service haven't been tested. We don't know if they had a legal obligation.
No, they haven't. And anybody who's argued, and that's why, like, I did an AMA on Reddit because it had, you know, Derek Smart had posted it and like. On his Twitter, and like a bunch of people like started saying, you know, I don't believe this guy, he's full of shit, whatever.
Oh yeah, I bet you were dead popular on the Star Citizen channel.
I got comments like, this guy should overdose and kill himself. Jesus. he's a waste of oxygen. What a piece of shit.
Because you wanted your money back for what a terrible thing that you did there.
because I wanted a refund. I'm a scumbag. I guess. And I just gave it to them. I'm like, okay, you know. And they don't realize, they don't understand what it is. I'm supporting them as consumers.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pro-consumer. Like, if they ever turn around and say, I'm not interested in this game, they can follow my footsteps and get their money back.
Yeah, precisely. Precisely. And they may... They may come to appreciate that in time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not telling them to do it. I'm not saying, yo, go get your refund. This game is a scam.
No.
But what I am saying is, like, if they want to, the option is there. And that's what it comes down to. If I'm a scumbag because I don't want to support this game anymore, that's my choice. That's not your choice. So you do what you want with your money. If you want to give CIG $3,000 of your money, because I, you know, a lot of people were saying this too, like, okay, a whole bunch of people have said they're going to make up the difference for CIG because they refunded you. I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm like, okay, sure.
Go ahead, I suppose.
I mean, it's your money. It's what you do what
like,
you want.
Yeah, like I hope all those people can afford that. If they can, then whatever.
And okay, so
anyway.
No, but let me get back to something, because I noticed you pointed out that I had received $2,560. I think that was your figure.
Yep. Because you got 900 from Amazon payments at first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what it comes down to is I actually voluntarily forfeited a certain amount of money. And the reason I did that was because when I redacted it, so you didn't read it in the emails.
Okay.
But I was kind of surprised you were able to reach the exact amount of money that I got back, because I was like, I thought I redacted all of that stuff. I don't know how he.
No, all I did was I took the 900 that you got back from Amazon.
Yeah.
And added it to the what would it be? 1600 or so that you got through PayPal.
So
I arrived at that.
So anyway, like so the reason I forfeited some of the money is because I had been a subscriber for I think 2 years.
Okay.
And I think that came up to like $400 or something like that.
Right.
And then I had gifted one of my ships away.
Sure.
This $600 ship. It's like the space yacht or whatever.
Yeah, let's just keep calling it the space yacht. That works and for me.
I don't remember the name of the ship. It's so terrible. So I said to CIJ, look, I don't expect you to give money back on something I gifted away.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't expect you to give me the money back on the subscription.
Right.
Because, that's, I consider that to be, you provided the service. I got my jump points. I got all the jump points.
Yeah.
And, I got my subscriber swag. I got, the ironic thing is I'm on the little, wall thing that they did.
Are you still on there? That's the question.
I don't know. Maybe they came by with someone and like, scratch this guy out. Screw this guy. And then my name is supposed to be in the game, so.
As an NPC or something?
Yeah. My name will be in the game as like an NPC or something. That was one of the things to being a subscriber plus a bunch of stuff. So I considered all of that.
Those are things you received. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I was like, okay, sure, whatever. I don't want that money. I gave that money and the service was provided. Mm-hmm. I just want my money back and all the stuff you didn't provide. That's all I want. So that's how you got that number.
Sure. So cool. Thanks, appreciate you clearing that part up.
And I'm trying to think, so what else? So yeah, so I sent in the emails as like, I just want my refund. They denied me the first, now I gave them 30 days. Like some people say, a couple of people were saying I jumped the gun. I emailed them once and then I was like, okay, screw you guys. And then I just started submitting all this stuff to the district attorney and I was press the nuke button, That's not how this happened. What happened was is I emailed them. I said, look, I want a refund. They swiftly denied me. They stated their terms of service.
Mm-hmm.
And the passage that they had stated to me was in the new version of the terms of service, the one that I didn't agree to.
Right. Because there's one they quote. I don't know if it's in the reply to the DA that comes from Star Citizen's legal counsel guy. They quote this sort of non-refund
Yeah, I didn't even agree to it. So
isn't the one though that actually was in both? I know one of them changed, but this is the thing I don't understand
I'd have to go and look at them.
This is the part I don't get, because it's almost like they're contradictory, right? Because the ones before they changed it said, yeah, you can have a refund if we don't deliver after 18 months. But then another portion of it seemed to be saying, oh yeah, but anything you pledge is not refundable. So.
Well, so let me try to break it down for you. Legally speaking, the only quantifiable amount that I could come up with was the amount that I spent for these products, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the way the terms of service actually reads is, they say something like, all the money that we receive is going to be, put towards the production of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if we have to refund somebody, we're only going to refund them, based on the percentage of the money we have remaining after all the money we put into production. Right. So in other words, let's say, they have $100 million, or they raised $100 million and they spent $80 million of it.
Yeah.
They would have 20% remaining. So they would give me a 20%, they would give me 20% of the money back that I spent.
Right. So their stance effectively is like, no, all the money's gone into the game. So
yeah,
therefore, yeah. There's none left. You can't have any.
So, but in order to do that, in order to follow through on that term of their terms of service, they would have to produce financials. That's what.
Oh, right. Right. Of course.
They would have to tell me. All the money that they spent and what they spent it on and all that crap. And I know that's something that Derek's pushing for.
Yeah.
I don't particularly care that much about that. I just, I just wanted my money back.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, that's what it comes down to. And I guess it got to a point where like they didn't want to do that or whatever. But another thing that I brought up when I responded to CIG was there was a case in Washington. Mm-hmm. It was the asylum case. I don't know if you know about it or did any.
Yes.
Research.
Yeah. Well, I definitely did once. I read through that case when I was writing up the article to check out, what had happened there. Correct me if I'm wrong, you probably know better than I do, but it seems like the Attorney General there used the Consumer Protection Act, basically, to say...
Yes.
This was shady.
Yeah, it was a Consumer Protection Act, and basically, they had taken a whole bunch of money to produce a board game, I think it was, they just never produced it. The deadline went by. They never produced it.
Yeah.
I think it was due by, 2012 or something like that. It must have been after that. I don't know. I don't know the exact dates.
The guy kind of went AWOL basically, didn't he? And stopped.
Yeah.
Stopped doing any updates and
stopped updating, yeah. Stopped communicating with backers. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he failed to produce the product by the date. And so the district attorney created a lawsuit against him under the Consumer Protection Act.
Mm-hmm.
That basically says if somebody agrees that you're going to produce this product by a certain time and you don't, they are eligible for a full refund.
Right. Right.
A lot of people say, well, the money is spent. We can't give it back. That's not my problem. You know, as a consumer.
Yeah.
As a consumer, that's not my problem. So he ended up paying, I think, double or triple what he actually received from Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Now, if that was CIG, I can only imagine, like, okay, they raised $117 million and now they have to pay back, like, $350 million. Could you imagine, like... people's heads would explode,
that would be presupposing that a Consumer Protection Act suit was brought against them, which feeds back into the whole terms of service thing in the the fact that they haven't been tested legally, so...
Right, and really that's what this is. Like, a lot of people say, I've seen people say, and they can't seem to narrow down which, like, story they want to say. Like, I see people say, well, CIG just did this to get rid of them. Now, we don't need this kind of riffraff in our community. And then other people say, well, he blackmailed them and strong-armed them into getting his refund. I'm like, well, guys, my name, the street roller name, mm-hmm. It's not even associated with my RSI account. There's no association. Right. So nobody could find out who I was on RSI. And I only have something like 200 posts on the forums. Mm-hmm. I don't go there that much. I don't post that much. So I really fail to see, like...
Yeah, how you're this... I mean, that sounds to me like... because that was the reasoning they gave for cutting off Derek Smart originally. They basically said, yeah. Right, we're done with you. Here's your money back. Get out of our forum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what they're doing there is applying the same logic to you, inaccurately.
So did they get rid of me? Did I strong arm them? I don't think it's. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think, they didn't want their terms of service to be tested. That's what it comes down to. They didn't want me. Yeah. They didn't want me to take him to court. They didn't want me to say that, my rights had been abused and by just giving me my refund, I don't have any damages anymore. So,
right.
You know, it becomes much harder for me to just take him to court now because the judge will look at me like, oh, well, you got a refund, so. Why are we here?
Yeah, sure. I'm curious, what was your reaction when you read Ortwin's response to the DA, where he basically trashes your complaint and then says, oh, but we're going to refund him anyway, though?
it's funny to me. I understand why they did it. I mean, you have to understand, like, by writing the letter in the way they did, they don't admit fault.
Right.
And some people will say, well, by giving you a refund, that means they're guilty. No, it doesn't mean they're guilty. Not legally. It doesn't mean they're guilty. It just means that, they didn't want their terms of service to be tested. They didn't want it to stand up to a legal test. And maybe they didn't feel it would. That could have been their thought process, but that's just speculation.
Maybe they don't want to gamble on that.
It's a gamble.
It's more straightforward to pay out,
Yeah, it's a gamble.
$2,000-$3,000.
Oh yeah, it's much cheaper. Because if I had won, it would have been $9,000. So that's a $6,000 gamble they're doing.
Not to mention that it then sets a precedent for
for
everything else. They're probably not going to want to open that door.
So they essentially did that so they could not have to deal with it anymore.
Yeah. I'm very curious what might happen if someone else basically tries the same route.
I imagine what's going to happen is they might refund them, they might not, but either way, it will come to a point where it's like they have to. If it keeps happening, it's going to end up in court. Really what I mean. Obviously, that's speculation, but there will come a point where CIG will have to be like, okay, we gotta go to court over this.
We gotta defend this and say no more refunding, I suppose.
But the funny thing about that, and here's the interesting thing, and I don't think your article covers it, and I don't think any other article covered it, but the couple of days after I received the response from the district attorney, which had Ortlund's response.
Yeah.
I got all of my claims on PayPal were denied. And
right.
And the reason that they had given, I can read it here. We received shipment tracking from the merchant confirming that the merchandise was delivered.
wait, shipment tracking on the...
Shipment tracking on a digital item that I can't even play in the game.
That's bizarre.
And so I called up PayPal and I talked to some girl named Faya. I got her her PayPal ID number. So I talked to her and she basically said, because I asked her, I'm like, okay, I really want to know what information they sent PayPal for you to say they received shit. I'm really curious.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I can't give that to you. And she said, in order to give that to you, you would have to subpoena PayPal. And and in order to subpoena somebody, I'd have to have a legal case for discovery, as you know. So that was a kind of a pain in the ass.
That's a bit of a dead end.
I got the DA's response at like the beginning of July and then the PayPal denial. And so I had been talking with a lawyer, and I was just sort of gathering all of this information together, getting a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was getting ready to put in a lawsuit. We were getting to that point.
Right.
And then funny enough, like right as we were getting there, on July 11th, investigator Anthony Way calls me up. He's from the DCBA. And
sorry, is that the Department of Consumer and Business Affairs?
Department of Consumer and Business Affairs,
right.
County of Los Angeles.
Okay.
And he was like, okay. Yeah, I was reading over the letter that was given, by, you know, the district attorney. And, when I get off the phone with you, I'm going to call CIG and we're going to try to resolve this amicably before this escalates.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Great. And you're probably thinking at that point, great.
No, and I talked with him for about an hour, and I laid it all down. I told him, you know, pretty much everything I'm telling you now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, look, these guys, they took my money, and you know, at this point, like, you know, they're saying this thing on PayPal, and they're telling me they're going to give me a refund, and then they're denying my refunds.
Mm.
I think this is a scam. I think they're just telling people what they want to hear at this point. Like I was getting to the point where I was getting really annoyed. And so he says to me, because I had mentioned to him, look, I have other friends who are also in Star Citizen for like $40, $60, $100,
yeah.
And they've been denied refunds. They can't get them, you know, and they're not willing to just sue over $60.
Right, right.
So CIG is you know, they're because they're denying refunds, they're kind of taking advantage of the fact that they know that these people are not going to just go to court over it.
Right.
It's too much of a hassle.
As an individual, you're not going to do that, but collectively, all those $60, right. $100 add up to a fair
right.
amount.
Exactly. So. What happened was he had said to me, okay, look, if anybody else has a complaint, have them file complaints with us. And what will happen is the more complaints we get, they can build a case. They'll be forwarded to the district attorney and they will be able to build a case, to go after CIG for consumer protection.
Right.
So he said, you know, get all your friends together. Whoever wants to complain, they could put in a complaint, document all their invoices and stuff like that, everything they can think of. I said, okay. And I had asked him, you know, is there an investigation into CIG currently? He said, he gave me some kind of response, like, you know, he can't really go into too much detail about that.
Non-committal kind of, right.
Yeah, he's more interested in just solving my individual complaint rather than talking about a larger case, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So less than 24 hours, because I told him, I'm like, look, I'm gearing up for a lawsuit. Like, they told me they would give me a refund, and then they denied all my claims. And so he said, okay, well, I'm going to call CIG right now. I said, okay. And he said, how do you want your money returned to you? How would you like it returned to you? I said, well, to be honest, I'd like it check. I'd like them to mail me a check because I'm tired of playing games with PayPal and Amazon and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So I just want a check that I can cash for money and just put it in my bank account so we're done. And he said, okay. So I get off the phone with him. Less than 24 hours later, bam, money's in my PayPal. I mean, I'm assuming he said, okay, he'd like a check. And they're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And so, but whatever. You know, I got my money back and that's the end of the story. So if anything, you know, the reason I'm doing this interview, the reason I'm, you know, I want people to know about this is because I'm not saying I want everybody to get a refund. I'm not saying, you know, I think Star Citizen should fail. In fact, I hope it succeeds. Mm-hmm. I hope it comes out and it's like the best damn space sim ever, whatever. But, CIG needs to understand that consumers have rights and they can't just do whatever the hell they want, you know? So if somebody does want a refund, if somebody feels disenfranchised to the point where they feel like they want out, I want them to know that they have a resource. They can do that. And Derek Smart did not approach me prior to my refund. He didn't, you know, in fact, I was searching on Google for Star Citizen refund, and that's when I came across his blog, and that's when I came across Something Awful, and that's when I signed up for Something Awful. I was asking questions on the Something Awful forums, and people were just like, you know, you should check out Derek's blogs. He, you know, he has a whole bunch of stuff documented, and he does. It's true. Among all of the, you know.
So, as someone who is in the writing profession, he could do with an editor.
yeah, you know, a little bit.
No offense to Mr. Derek Smart, who has been on the PC Invasion podcast previously, but.
I mean, no, he had a lot of information there. It's a lot of JPEG trolling too. So, you know, but whatever. It's his blog, right? So.
Yeah,
so
sure. And there is some solid how to get a refund information, particularly at the start when I think CIG were a bit more forthcoming with giving people their money back, which they seem to have tightened up on.
They don't care at all now. And so I jumped into Discord with him, and basically we talked. I told him my stance. I told him that I was talking to a lawyer. That I was, you know, he wanted information out of me. Basically, he wanted to know, like, you know, where I was from, what kind of steps I was taking. So he didn't really give me, like, a lot of people think, like, I'm a Derek Smart plant or something. Like,
well, you just said that you colluded with him on Discord, Arthur. I mean, the
evidence
is there for all to see.
You know, like, yeah. I, you know, like, yeah, it was all, it, you know, I was, I was just really angry at the end, and he gave me a bunch of resources, and you know, that's about the end of my, you know, involvement with him.
Like, I honestly can't see why anyone would see anything wrong with somebody who was seeking to get a sizable refund for, you know, non-delivery of a product, and another person helps them out with resources to do that, you know, like how is that bad is my rhetorical question.
it's I don't know, you know, it really surprised me, like how toxic some of the comments were on the start, you know, ironically enough, and here's the irony of the whole thing, to be truthfully honest with you. When Derek posted up his original thing, you know, saying that I had gotten a refund or whatever.
Yeah.
It showed up on the Derek Smart subreddit, right, which I went to and I did an AMA on.
Mm-hmm.
I had decent conversations in that subreddit,
right,
comparatively to the Star Citizen one.
Right.
When I went into the Star Citizen one, I was just like, because people were saying things, you know, that were false or they didn't understand the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to like clear things up, and then people would respond to me like, "You're a scumbag. You're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Wow, you're such a bitch." Like, okay.
It's uncalled for. Yeah, I read, can't remember if you'd put it on the SA forums or not. You said something about you know, suddenly you felt like an outcast from Scientology or something, you know.
Yeah, I did.
Which is an interesting comparison to make.
Because that's what it feels like. Like, people are now going around telling people what a horrible person I am, that I strong-armed CIG, or that I was outcast because I was a piece of shit.
Mm.
And, okay, fine.
I find it bizarre, you know, that people are so emotionally attached to this game. Like,
I understand why they are, though, because for a period of time, I was as well. I mean, this is a game that is, you know, the first of its kind. It's one of the biggest Kickstarter projects ever.
Yeah. No disputing that.
It has a huge following, and people have watched this company grow from nothing. And so for a lot of people, including myself, you know, you feel like you've watched it build, and you feel like it's you know, you're a part of it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like, you know, I've funded stuff through Kickstarter myself, but you know, nothing to this.
Yeah, but the way CIG works,
with
all of the updates, I mean, they're constantly. I'm not gonna lie to them, especially in the early days. You had Chris Roberts coming on the forums and talking with people. And so people felt really involved in the project.
That is really cool.
So I understand like the level of intimacy people feel with CIG. They feel like it's their company, not just a company.
Mm.
But also people have to recognize that there comes a point where you need to protect yourself as well. And I think I think that's where the line is sort of being blurred. Like, you know, if I had won a refund against Electronic Arts.
Oh yeah. Or Ubisoft.
It would be a damn parade in the middle of Times Square. Like,
good job. You beat those DLC publisher scammers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, quite. Yeah. It's, you're right, there is that sort of level of connection and intimacy that I'm not getting, because I haven't pledged to Star Citizen, I haven't followed it as a backer or anything like that, but I guess it's always disappointing to me when people take that to the point where any critique is like an attack, you know, and not just against the company, against you personally somehow, you know. I don't know.
No, it was very eye opening. Being on the receiving end of all that toxicity. I mean, people are like literally messaging me telling me to die.
Yeah. That's crazy. That, you know, I mean, unfortunately we see that a lot on the internet with this kind of thing, but it doesn't make it acceptable.
And I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, it's just a game, guys.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. And I mean, but that same argument be used against me, I guess. But, you know, I did have, like, I like people saying, oh yeah, $3,000, that was just a drop in the bucket. I'm like,
how much are you in for then?
Yeah, I'm just like,
that's, yeah. I mean, did people talk about that on the, you said, you know, the concierge forum? Or was it, I don't know, was it gauche to talk about how much money you'd invested?
Oh, no, there was a poll on the concierge forum at one point that, you know, how much have you invested? Like one, or like 1,000 to 2,000, 2,000 to 5,000. And then you have people like up in the 40,000 range. I'm just like, geez, like I couldn't. I mean, I understand the psychology of it.
Yeah, you know, if you're extremely rich, you can reach the point where like, I can put 20 grand into a video game or 30 grand. That's,
you know, yes, whatever, you know.
Like to me, that seems mental, but obviously my salary would not support that kind of investment. So yeah.
So that's pretty much. That's pretty much it. I mean, do you have any questions or?
No, man. I think we've covered pretty much everything I wanted to talk to you about and more actually. Taking up more of your time than I said I was going to. So I apologize.
No,
that's
fine. I'm a talker. So.